Oh, well, happy Father's Day. Welcome to Mission Point. My name is Matt Trammell. I'm your associate pastor here. I see some guests in the audience, so hopefully you leave our building dripping with love, all right? Amen. And let me know if our people aren't nice to you, okay? Just slip a note under my door and I'll take care of it. So happy Father's Day. Thank you, moms, for pretending to give us this one day out of the year, right? We really appreciate it. Dads, enjoy today, because the honey-do list will be there tomorrow. And sorry for some of you, dads, you don't get the day off anyway, so get back to work, all right? In all seriousness, listen, we know that you love us, okay? We know that you need us. And I'm not even sure how much you know that you need us. So, hey, dads out there, listen, they need us, right? We need you. Like really, really bad. We need dads. Unfortunately, dads, we're not doing a very good job. And the price that we will pay for doing not a good job is the futures of our children and their children. See, we have a ridiculously huge responsibility as fathers. And so what you've done and what you're currently doing and what you're going to do moving forward is going to have a major impact on your children. That's what we're going to talk about today. Dad, what is your legacy? Leaving a legacy means putting a stamp on the future and contributing to future generations. What are you leaving behind? What is your legacy? As most of you know, my grandfather died June 4th of this year. And if you know me at all, if you know Matt Trammell even a little bit, you'll know how special my papaw was to me. He was the greatest man that I've ever known. I had the honor of doing his funeral. And when he asked me to do his funeral several months ago, it was during our last time that we actually spent time alone together. I was at his little condo that he had. We were putting a puzzle together. He had a big, giant puzzle, and I was just killing it. Piece after piece I was finding, and then he starts talking about me doing his funeral. And I told him to knock it off and stop talking, but as I stood on stage at my papaw's memorial celebration, what I did is I had the opportunity to look out over the crowd like I'm doing today. And as I looked out over the crowd, I saw what my papaw did and what he had worked so hard to build. I saw that seated in front of me were bits and pieces of his legacy all over the auditorium. And as his casket was right there, I saw a shell of what was once a great man. But it was just a shell, right? It was just his body. But now that he's gone, what he left in each one of his five children and his many grandchildren and in his great grandchildren, his legacy will continue on. He set the bar high. His reputation and his testimony were upright and untarnished. He knew what was important. And now that I'm a father four times over, I know, believe it or not, I've got four kids. I'm seeing the importance of legacy building more and more every day. Dads, I need you to understand something. Your role as a father is irreplaceable. Now, I want to be careful here, okay? I don't want to be insensitive, because there are a lot of father figures, okay? They are fantastic. Father figures, those that have stepped up, the stepdads, that you fill in the blank, the grandpas, how many grandparents are raising their grandkids, right? I am shouting all props to you for stepping up and being whatever that child needed you to be. So I have no Father figures, I love you, okay? So I want to preface it with that, because there's great fathers that aren't the biological father of that child, okay? So I've said that, but I need you to understand that there is only one, you only have one dad. That's it. You have one father. And so I just need to give you a glimpse of just how important dad that you are. Let me put some context. Let me put some numbers behind this, okay? According to the statistics of fatherless homes, I need you to wrap your mind around these numbers. These numbers are almost incomprehensible. But 20 million children in America live without dads. 20 million. Line up a million people and you show me how many people that is. 20 million children in America live without dads. That is, to give you context, that is over a quarter. It's actually closer to half of all the children in America. Okay? So almost half of every child living in the United States of America does not have a father. Over 7 million American dads were absent from the life of their children. Over 7 million dads, completely absent. Almost half, 49% to be exact, 49% of female-led homes with no spouse live far below the poverty level. Half, 49%. That's more than four times the rate when compared to families where both parents are present and in the home. Obviously, this is kind of common sense, but what's the leading cause of fatherless homes? Divorce. Listen, church, I know this is another sensitive topic, but we have to address these topics. You have to stop getting divorced. Amen. I know that's easier said than done. I've been married almost 16 years, and there's plenty of times where Annie should have left me. Plenty of times. Amen? But she didn't, because we knew that it went beyond us. It wasn't just Annie and I's happiness. The rock that I dropped in that pond of life would have rippled throughout the entire my sphere of influence. We got to stop getting divorced. When you say I do, I've done plenty of weddings, right? I just did one last weekend. In your vows in front of me and God and your witnesses, you tell me these things with your own mouth. You tell me till death. You know what death is? I don't need to define that. Till death do us part. You promise to do that? Yes, I do. You promise to do that? Yes, I do. Then how are you getting divorced if you're both still in front of me and you're both still alive? You told me till death do you part, so someone's got to go. I'm not encouraging murder, right? But that's the commitment that we make, and so many are saying, but it didn't work out. I fell out of love. No, you didn't. You got lazy, and you don't want to put the work in anymore, and now the grass is greener somewhere else, but I promise you, it's only because you've watered it for a little bit. It's going to turn that same crap brown because you're going to do the same things, and you're going to take it into the next relationship. You're going to be in the okay. This is not a marriage counseling. But I'm just telling you, we got to stop getting divorced, folks. It's destroying our culture. The disintegration of the family unit is absolutely causing the most havoc of really any other problem in our society. Because Satan knows if he can get our families, then he's got us. If he's got our families, that's how you start a church. We got families. And then you start a city, and then you start a county, then you start a state, then you have a country, right? It starts with families. If you can come in and disrupt that family unit, everything else is in shambles, right? We got to stop getting divorced. Church. Yes, that's to you, church. Because the numbers are no different. From the world to the church people, your divorce rate is the same. Explain that. Please. I'm waiting. Listen, the bomb could drop out tomorrow, right? But I'm telling you, till death do us part, period. We got to stop getting divorced. figure it out. Figure it out. If you got to come and get some tough love from Annie and I, that's what we needed, right? Figure it out. But we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to talk to you. If you're having problems, don't wait. Don't wait. Most of the time when you get to my couch or you get to the chair, you should have been there 6 months ago, a year ago. Don't wait, right? Do some maintenance on your marriage. Got to stop getting divorced. Adolescent girls, girls without fathers, are 4 times more likely to get pregnant out of wedlock than those from households where the father is present. There's a higher rate of suicide. Young men are 280%. 280%. I don't even know how you have that much. That's a lot. 280%. They're more likely to participate in illegal activity than those that live with their fathers. So from school and education all the way to the chances of going to prison. Eight out of 10 people in prison don't have dads. They didn't have dads. They weren't raised with dads. 8 out of 10. Every single statistic is better when the dad is around. Every single one. Now scientists, secular scientists, this isn't even a Christian thing, right? They're so alarmed because these numbers are growing at an exponential rate. People aren't getting married anymore. Now it's not divorce. People just aren't getting married. And now the dad can just say peace out and not have to pay child support because you guys weren't married. Right? There's loopholes. So they're starting to figure it out. They're not getting married. But this is what scientists are starting to understand about what happens when dad isn't around. It is changing the actual brain chemistry and the structure of their brain. So it's what we see, you know, the violence and the prisons and the not graduating, the pregnancies, those are all just the problems that we're seeing from the root cause of not having dad around. It's changing their brain chemistry. There's synapses that are being formed because dad is not there. It's affecting their cognitive development, and scientists are seeing a clear connection between behavioral patterns and growing up without a dad. So taking social consequences out of it, those are the things that we can see and measure, right? Those percentages, but it's altering their brain structure, their chemistry forever. Dad, I need you to understand today that you're important. We cannot afford to have you sitting on the sidelines. We can't afford that. So what does that mean, right? What does that mean for you as a Christian dad? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you know me, that's not really my style. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be incredibly difficult. God gives us a lot of responsibility. And sometimes, dads, guess what? You don't get a second chance to correct your mistakes, right? Once that time with your children is gone, nothing you can ever do will get it back. Ever. I have 4 kids. My oldest, 13, was 1 yesterday, right? Facebook is so true. They're just always on time with like these pictures that just rock my world of, oh, this happened 9 years ago, 10 years ago. And I'm just like, dude, I remember taking, that was yesterday, right? And so these interactions with my kids, the time that I spent on the trampoline, in the yard, throwing, playing, doing, loving, right? I can't get that back if I lost it. We got to keep these things at the front of our mind at all times. It's a lot of responsibility. And so I want to give you some things to take away. And I want you to start applying these things to your life immediately, right now. I'm going to address the kids today. I'm going to address the fathers, mothers. Don't worry, you're going to get something out of it too. But we're going to be in Proverbs today. That's what we're going to be, Proverbs. Speaking of my papaw, it was wild. Because he would always tell me, he just told me this all the time, but if you're looking for a place to start reading in your Bible or just like a little, let me just do something every day. Proverbs, okay, has 31 chapters in it. How many days do most months have? Most months have 31, right? So a chapter a day of Proverbs. My papa told me that all the time. He would write notes. He would write stuff. Proverbs a day, right? Here's the trippy part. He gave me his Bible, right? So I preached out of his Bible when I was doing his memorial. And when I went to just open it to put my paper in that I was going to teach, I opened it, not the middle of Proverbs, not Psalms, not Ecclesiastes, Proverbs 1. It's like right on like the introduction of Proverbs. I don't know, it was way cooler in my own mind, but just right before the service, and I'm like, that just rocked my world, Proverbs 1, boom. Anyway, Proverbs a day, all right? Proverbs, a chapter a day, 31 chapters, you can read it in a month. So that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Proverbs. I don't want to assume that everyone knows what Proverbs is, right? It is a book of the Bible. It is found in the Old Testament. Okay, so a little crash course. The author is who? Who's the author of Proverbs? Anybody know? Bible trivia. Solomon. Solomon, who was what? Who was his dad? Solomon's dad was named David. And Solomon was known to have written over 3,000 Proverbs. 3,000 Proverbs. The thing that we know about Solomon is that he asked for wisdom, okay? Solomon asked, he prayed for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And so outside of Jesus, right, Solomon was probably the wisest man to ever walk on the planet. The dude had God-given wisdom, okay? What most people don't know is Solomon didn't write all of Proverbs. He had some help. Some other guys wrote it, but he did write most of Proverbs. And the theme of the book of Proverbs is what? What's the theme? The overarching theme of Proverbs would be wisdom. Thank you, Pastor Danny. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge, right? You can be really smart. You can be very, you can know a lot about a certain topic or subject. But if you can't apply what you know, right? You've heard of people that are like street smart and book smart, right? There's some people that just, they're really smart, but they're just not very wise in the decisions that they make. So wisdom is applied knowledge. You're taking what you know and you're applying it to your life in a helpful way, all right? Unfortunately, I don't see very many people applying the knowledge that we have, all right? We have a smartphone in our hand. Most of you have one of those. And it can give you an answer to any question in a matter of microseconds, right? But living full, intentional, purposeful lives for Jesus seems impractical and out of reach for most. So where can we start in Proverbs to get to the bottom line of what we need to understand, okay? And this is kind of like my life's, not my life's first. This is just one that is like a kind of a base for me that kind of, I read it and I'm like, okay, that keeps me in check, right? This is, so let me read it and it'll make more sense. Proverbs 1:7 says this. Proverbs 1:7. This is the foundation of what, before we can go any further, this is what you need to understand, all right? Proverbs 1:7 says this, fear of the Lord is the foundation, right? The beginning of any building. Not a builder, but I know at the bottom you got to put a foundation to build on, right? Even I know that. The foundation, that's the start. So fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now this is where, when people read this verse, right? Most people don't even get out of like the starting gate, right? The gun goes off and they just fall on their face trying to get out of the blocks. Because what's happening is people are looking everywhere else for answers. You're trying to find fulfillment in your life, right? Whether that's your job, whether that's your hobby, whether that's your addiction. So you're trying to find fulfillment and happiness and answers and wisdom and knowledge and all of these other things. But you're not looking in the right spot. The source of it all, right? It's the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. Listen, the Bible says fear, right? That fear is not a like quaking in your boots, okay? Like, wait till your dad gets home. That's like a quaking in your boots fear, right? This is not that. This is a fear, right? When the fear of the Lord. This fear is like it has the awe factor. It has the respect and reverence factor of the creator of the universe. So God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. All of those things matter as nothing, right? That is the fear that I should have of the Lord. It's an awe of the Lord. And until you realize that, you're nothing and he's everything, right? I have to come to that. Hey, you see that catch? Lesser athlete would have dropped that. When you come to the realization that you're nothing and he is everything, you have to get there. You have to die to yourself. Jesus says, to be my disciple, you have to pick up your cross, you have to drag, you have to die to yourself. To live in my kingdom, you must die, right? Meaning, listen, this is nothing. I'm a vehicle. Take me and use me in whatever capacity you want. Use me to expand your kingdom. Until you realize that you're nothing and he's everything, you'll find this life to be very frustrating. Because you're going to continue to try to find it in everything else. You're going to try to do it your own way. You're going to try to lead your family your own way. You're going to try to do your job your own way. And you're going to be frustrated. So, Dad, you want to know where you can start in your journey of legacy building? You have to start by having some respect and reverence of God. Men in this room, men of this church, anybody that calls himself a Christ follower, you need to respect and have reverence in awe of the creator of DNA, right? I don't see that very often. People walk around as if God is not real, and at any point, he speaks a word and it's a wrap. And so we have to start by having respect. That means more than just showing up to church on Sunday, Dad, right? A lot of churches are filled with women, I'll just be honest with you. Some the dads have almost completely removed themselves. Right. You got to show up, men, right? Amen. Lead your wives. Don't let them just come to church by themselves. It's more than showing up on Sunday. Spoiler alert, listen. If God decides he wants to use you, but you continue to live fearlessly of him, he will do what he needs to soften your heart towards his will. Coming from a very prideful, do-it-yourself, drive-your-own-car of life straight into a ditch. He's going to soften your heart towards his will. Listen, that's a very nice way of saying that he will wreck you. Prideful man that thinks you got it all figured out, God will wreck you. You call yourself a Christ follower, he will wreck you if he needs to. You say, oh, God can't give us any more than you can handle. That's not true. That's talking about temptation. Amen. First of all, you don't even use it right. God will give you more than you can handle, so it reminds you that you need him. So he will wreck you. He will. All right? That verse is about temptation, and then he'll give you a way out of temptation. But in your life, you will be overwhelmed. You will feel like you're going to drown. In that moment, God's got your back at all times. It's called faith. And the only way you can strengthen your faith is by going through stuff that may not be as fun as you would like it to be. But that's where we learn the most. So men, dad, the Lord of heaven will direct you. If he wants to use you, guess what? You don't really have a choice, right? I know we have free will. We can get into all that too. But I tried to run, right? I'm coming. This is called. It's coming from here. Remember preaching at a mirror right here. Boom. There's a mirror. I thought I had it. I'm leading my family. And I about led my wife right out the door with my children. We got to figure it out. So we have a starting point now. This is your starting point, men, and anybody for that matter. But it's Father's Day, so I'm going to just keep talking to you. You got to start fearing the Lord. It's the beginning of all of it. If you can't fear the Lord, if you don't know that you're nothing and he's everything, you're going to be spinning your wheels. Let's look at chapter 4 of Proverbs. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 10 says this, my child, right? Solomon is writing to his children. He had probably several with all of his female companions. My child, right? He's speaking to an audience. Listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long life. Growing up in a pastor's home, this verse meant to me that if you obey your parents and do what they tell you, then they'll let you live a long time. And on the flip side, if you disobey, they'll kill you. And your life will not be long. So that's how it was broadcasted to me, right? But now as I'm a parent, I understand that this verse really isn't meant to be a threat. Here Solomon is speaking to someone that he loves more than anything. Someone that he's willing to give his life up for. Can I tell you, without even blinking an eye, I would lay my life down for any of my children. Any one of them. I would lay my life down for my wife. So here Solomon is, as a father, looking at someone that he loves very much. He only wants what's best for his child, right? That's it. As a father, that's all I want for you, Ella, is the best. That's all. He's speaking to someone he loves very much. Kids, can I tell you something that might blow your mind? If you're in here today, kids, right? Me, along with your parents and your grandparents, guess what? We were kids at one time too, right? So to get where I am at 38, that means I had to pass all the ages before the age of 38, which means I've already lived through it. So I say all the time that most of my wisdom and most of our marriage counseling wisdom comes from the bad decisions that I made as a younger child, as a younger person, right? I discovered so many things that don't work. I checked them all off. So I'm going to do my best to prevent anyone else from having to take that same path. And I do understand that each one of us has a little different journey to take. The ones that say they wouldn't change a thing, you're a liar, right? I would change a whole lot. Now, obviously, it made you who you are today, but if you say you wouldn't change a thing, you're crazy. The truth is that you can't change what happened in the past. You can't. No matter what you do, you can't change it. You can only control what you do from this present moment moving forward. Can I give you a word of encouragement to my young people out there, right? Young people, maybe you don't have a father that you would take advice from in a billion years, right? There are, there are those fathers, and the Bible says obey your parents. If they tell you to go rob a bank, I think you don't have to do that, right? So it's within reason when I say listen to your parents. But if you don't have that father, you don't have that father figure, I want to ask you to start praying for that. Pray for that person to come into your life that can teach you the right things. That source of truth is so important. And that's not just for young people. This is for young men in here as well, younger dads. Learn from those that have gone before you, because I promise, listen, there are no exceptions for the rules of life. Right? You are not an exception. The principle of sowing and reaping, I promise, cannot be outmaneuvered. So listen to your father. If you don't have a father, find someone that can speak truth and wisdom into your life. Because if you can find that, then most likely they've been there. Here's the other part that I want to talk about with dads. And I want to tell you kids, listen, show some grace too. Right? Show some grace to your father. Because guess what? We're broken just like you are. And we may act like we have it all together, but for most of us, it's just an act, right? We're just trying to figure it out as well. But know this at the end of the day, that we want what's best for you. That's it. And so listen to us, right? To avoid all those landmines that are waiting to just blow your knees off, blow your legs off, like, try to listen. But again, I go back to finding someone that is solid, right? That's important. That's important. Someone that can speak truth into your life. Someone that you can listen to. Proverbs 4, 11 through 12 says this. Still Solomon talking. He says, I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. And when you run, you won't stumble. All right, Dad, it's back to you. See, I, along with the Bible, just told your children to listen to you. I just told them to do that, right? The Bible said, listen, right? Solomon says, listen to me. And now it's your responsibility to make sure that the things that you're teaching them, the legacy that you're leaving them, is on point. Do you know what's really hard, Dad? That's really hard. Leading your family. It's hard enough keeping yourself together. It's a hard enough job for me just to keep myself in a straight line. But your wife and your children have got to be among your highest priorities. Listen, it's hard to do devotions every night. It's hard, right? The Trammels are guilty of being a bit streaky. Full transparency, we're on a bit of a drought right now, honestly. Right, Ella? Sorry, dude. Baseball, it's just crazy life, right? So I know that life is crazy. I know that we have schedules. I get it. But to teach someone something, right, it would first help if you knew it yourself. See, this has been an area where fathers have dropped the ball in a mighty way. And each generation gets further and further from God's word because you don't read it. You don't know it. You don't apply it. You can't know what you don't read. If you don't read it, how the heck can you know what's in it? We're guilty, men, of defaulting to the church to raise our kids up and to love Jesus. But we have pastors, as teachers here, right? We get such a short amount of time with you. We get such a minuscule part of all the hours that the world gets. We get this much. Jesus stuff has to be a lifestyle. I told you, it's not just coming to church. Because guess what? Your kids are going to see right through it. If you are not real, right? Not just as a Christian, as whatever it might be, right? If you're shiesty in your business decisions, your kids are watching. If you're dishonest at a restaurant, your kids are watching. You want to break the rules, Dad, your kids are watching. They're going to see right through it. We need to use every moment to teach our families to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. It's our greatest commandment. So let me ask you a very pointed and clear, down to the point, bottom line question. Dad, why aren't you teaching your families? Why aren't you teaching your families about Jesus? Don't tell me that you don't have time. Don't give me the excuse that you don't understand it. There are 7,000 different Bible translations. There are a million different commentaries, videos, sermon archives. We've got a whole thing on our website. Very common questions, answers. Like, the information is there. We have infinite access to information. So if you're not doing it, it just means that you're willfully ignorant. You're doing it on purpose. Because you have the information, you have the tools, but you must tap in. You've got to tune in. You got to get plugged in and stop trying to do it on your own. There is no mystery to this game. Yes, are there things in the Bible that we don't understand, that we are not going to understand this side of heaven? Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you that I don't know. But there is plenty that we do know, and there is plenty that you can live your life day by day knowing exactly what you need to be doing in your next step based on what the Bible says and the blueprint that it lays out. Proverbs 4:13 says this. I'm almost done. This is what it says. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. This is for everybody. Moms, dads, kids. We have what we call the Word of God. That's what we have. We say that we have that, right? Each of you have probably 15 copies at home. You have a copy on your phone. It's the Word of God. It's the most popular book in the history of mankind. And every single one of us sitting in this room and listening online are guilty of totally taking it for granted. What do we do with things that mean a lot to us, right? What do? You have something that's super valuable. We have treasures and secrets and all of these things in America. Where are those? What do we do with stuff like that, right? We guard it. We hide it. We protect them. We never let that go, right? It means a lot to us. It means something to us. But humans often find themselves completely off the reservation, doing things that are so self-destructive. And it's because we don't guard truth and godly instruction like our lives depended on it. We get twisted up. We get distracted. And I'm telling you, folks, truth can be snatched away in a generation if we don't follow the instruction manual. We are always one generation away from being extinct. And if we don't pass the baton, folks, I'm telling you, we're going to be in trouble. We get distracted. We don't follow the instruction manual. Solomon makes it a matter of life and death. He says these instructions, living a godly life, right, hanging on, protecting it, guarding it, your life depends on it. It's not just a casual, I go to Mission Point. No, your life and your relationship with Jesus, your life depends on that. And so I'm going to protect it and guard it with everything that I am. See, the legacy, Dad, that you leave will affect generations. The legacy that you leave will affect generations and generations and where they spend eternity. You can affect that. My papa, Roy Lee Williams, was the best man I know. But I don't have to tell you that he was awesome, because his testimony spoke for itself. Papaw loved his family like crazy. But his greatest example he showed me was how much my papaw loved Jesus. It's his legacy. And he's officially passed the baton. And the imprint that he left on my life is more than words can articulate. His legacy will live on. Dad, gut check time. This is where the rubber meets the road. This separates the men from the little boys. We got a lot of little boys in our society. Little boys. You might be 35, but you're a little child. Gut check time, Dad. It's not going to get any easier, I promise. Holding your family together is not going to get any easier. There's more distractions now than ever before. Church is less of a priority than ever in the history of the church. Amen. Right now, in American history or in American culture, church means nothing to most people. I'll go if I have nothing else to do. But if something comes up, guess what? I'll go next week. That's the reality. Here's the other reality, though, is that your family needs you. Dads, your families need you. Your church needs you. We need strong men. And more importantly, the kingdom needs you. The kingdom needs you, dads. Men, it needs you to step up and it needs you to get to work. Not talking, right? Doing. Do something. Affect the kingdom. Affect your family. Those that God has entrusted and blessed you with. What legacy, Dad? What legacy are you leaving behind? As the praise team comes, we'll have a little time of response. Go ahead and stand to your feet. And just a little time of reflection. I want to encourage you. I hope this was an encouragement to dads to say, you know what? Man, I am important. I can't afford to be on cruise control. I can't afford to just go through the grind of life and not invest in those that are most important to me. My kids should be my family, my wife and my kids. They're my first mission field. If I can't get that right, then shame on me, right? It's important. Dads, you're important. Moms, we love you. You're irreplaceable as well. But I promise you, there's things that you can't do. There's things that you can't do as a mother. There's things that need to be supplied to a child that a mother cannot supply. Amen. I'm sorry, that's not, and vice versa, right? It's not a, you know, whatever. It's not guys versus girls. The plan is each other, hand in hand, no matter what, till death do us part. Then we have kids and we teach them the same thing. We train them up. Because if we don't train them up, someone else will. Dad, if you're not giving your little girl attention, she's going to find it. I promise. Love your kids. Love your family. Take care of business. That's the kind of men that we need here at Mission Point.